He's the type of guy who says this right now, and then he'll play 2K and call everything bullshit about the game.
That's bullshit.
You can pick up.
That's bullshit.
You can be listening to these frequencies that they give you, you know? And there's these guys sitting in studios working on frequencies that make you think differently.
What's going on in the world, if you could just go home every day after your job and go live in the world that you want to live in, why would you give a fuck what's going on out there?
What's up, everybody? It's Big Mike the Don of the Reverse the Universe podcast. I got some special guests today. Something I never thought I'd have on my show, but, you know, I'm very open-minded and I really want to explore different things that I don't really know about. So today I have Gogo straight from Croatia, and I have Chaz straight from Brooklyn, New York. So this should be pretty interesting. So I just want to start off by introducing you guys. Go ahead, explain your area of expertise.
I'll go. I guess I'm up to bat. All right. So my name is Chastity Ryan, and I am a tarot reader, professional tarot reader for the past 20 years. So this is something I've been doing for quite a long time. So that's my story. And on to you, Gogo.
So my name is Gogo Goran Novak, straight from Croatia, as you said. I've been reading tarot for about 7 years now, I think. It's going on to 8, so we're getting there. I'm waiting for the Big Ten. My speciality would presumably be the fortune-telling aspect and the psycho-spiritual development with tarot. So that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, I have no experience at all. I just talk a lot about things I don't know about. So that's why I got you guys here today.
Oh, we do too.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I need that energy. You know, a lot of not knowing turns into a lot of knowing at the end of the day. But so basically, I know I was sent over some stuff by you, Chas, and I've been doing some research, you know, trying to get on my shit, trying to learn a little bit. So I know basically, and I have it right here. So the whole tarot deck consists of 78 cards, correct?
Yes.
So
exactly.
Now, honestly, I'm pretty much an idiot when it comes to, you know, trying to reason what the hell all this means. So I really want you guys to kind of just briefly explain to my audience, like, what is the tarot cards and, like, just, you know, the different levels of tarot cards that you guys do, like if you were doing just a normal tarot reading for anybody.
Well, for me, I usually start with a basic 3-card, you know, because that usually covers all the bases, you know, past, present, future, and so on and so forth. So it kind of gives me a full glimpse. I don't try to throw too many cards on the table because I notice in my experience that's kind of freaked the querent off or the client off, seeing all these cards like, oh my God, what does this all mean? So it tends to be overkill. So I like to keep it simple initially and then just kind of branch off from there. So for those that are like just curious and want to like, you know, experiment, like I would recommend just start with like 1 to 3 cards and just get a feel for them. Just look at the pictures and, you know, just feel it out, whatever intuitively you pick up.
Right. So now, like with what you were talking about, the 3 cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing when you're talking about 3 cards, you could pull multiple cards other than 3. But I guess the 3 cards gives you a baseline on what you're about to read or what you're reading right off the bat, correct?
Right. It's like the foundation, you know what I mean? Like that's the basis of it, like the root. And then if you need more, you know, details or whatever, you could pull out more stuff like that. So
Gogo, you were talking about, you know, more of the fortune telling side of it. So I'm guessing there's some of, you know, like past, present and future in tarot cards.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it depends on what you want to read into, right? Mm. As I said, there's also the aspect of the psycho-spiritual development. You can bring other disciplines into it, like mediumship, and combine the messages you get from the cards from as well with the messages from spirit, right? That's also another aspect. With fortune telling, a lot of it has to do, because people often ask, like, when will this person come back to me? Or when will I get a new job, right? That's one of the most common questions that you get in this line of work. And oftentimes is figuring out the numbers and numerologically when something is going to transpire or when a certain event is going to happen. So you have that. Now, I know in the beginning you asked about the actual system. So do you want to get into that? Just a little bit of background on the actual system?
Yes, that's pretty much where I want to start, because I think that would kind of lead into that. So yeah, go ahead. Give me what your system is, you know, when you're starting.
So in the respect to the actual cards, it would be 78 cards, as you mentioned. 22 major arcana cards and 56 minor arcana cards. Now, for those listening, arcana means secret, right? So major arcana, the first 22 are usually explaining major life events. You have cards like Lovers, Death, Temperance, the Tower, the World, the Wheel of Fortune, stuff like that. So that's major events. Then you have the latter 56 cards, which are more mundane day-to-day things that happen in your life, right? Now, for me, in getting into a reading, I will usually start as well with 2 to 3 cards just to establish a basis on what's happening right now. One of the very popular things that you have out there is pulling a significator card, which is a single card that will just interpret the energy or will look into what this person is all about or a specific situation and stuff like that. So that's usually the basis, and then you can build from that. Quite recently, we've talked about the using the entire deck. There is a spread from 1404, I think, if I'm not mistaken, by Atella that uses all of the 78 cards. And at the end of the day, when you look at the actual spread, it's not necessarily practical because it does take a lot of space and it was meant more for the show rather than anything practical. So it really depends. You have spreads that are 1 card, 3 cards. You can go into bigger spreads up to 20 cards, 30 cards. So it really depends on where you go and what you want to look into. But I agree with Chas, for somebody who's beginning and even for a more experienced reader, sometimes it's easier to start with a lesser amount of cards just so you get a good understanding of what the messages are, what you intuitively get, and then run with that forward.
So my question to you is then, is it not about the card itself, or is it about the sequence of the cards and how they come out?
It's actually about both.
Both.
It's about both. Yeah, because you, for example, today I was just taking some photos for Instagram and I pulled 4 cards in a row. And I immediately went to that interpreting as a reader. I immediately go into, okay, this means that, this means that. And then I reversed all of them. So the last card was the first and the first one was the last and the middle two also switched. It was a completely different picture. So it's not necessarily as a Lenormand style where you read 2 by 2, but it does kind of a tie in. If you pull multiple cards, you'd also have the interpretations between 2 different cards and kind of a tie that in with a specific single message from a single card.
Yeah, because that's always, I mean, I've always heard of the tarot cards, and I actually went to school with some girls who do them. And, you know, I mean, just being myself and not really knowing about this stuff, I'm always a little skeptical about it. I don't know really how true things are. But I mean, but what I was reading, it's, you know, a lot of it that seems like it's not like an exact science. It's not like a something that's going to tell you exactly you're going to win $1 million or you're going to get married on this day. But it's kind of just like a guideline, you know, like, and I can respect that, you know, it's not like you're telling people like, you know, false things. You're just kind of giving them what the cards are. You know, it's kind of like what cards you have in your hand, like you're playing poker. You know what I mean? That's kind of like what you're dealing with. So, I mean, like I said, I can respect it on that level. I'm really intrigued by it because like we're going into like spirituality and stuff like that. You know, these cards are something for people to kind of believe in a little bit. You know, it gives them a self in-depth look at, you know, what could be and what they have now. So that's kind of why I respect it. But going into it, I mean, I don't know how much you guys are in the history. I mean, you were talking about 1402. So you obviously have some kind of history behind the tarot card. So maybe just give a little bit of a history behind it, either Chas or Go-Go.
Yeah, well, essentially tarot has a long history. It started actually as murals going back to ancient Babylonian Egyptian time. Like a lot of the imagery you see in a traditional tarot deck goes back like eons. And it just kind of over time had evolved into going into Europe, like post-Crusades, I would say, like playing cards, like only for the elite, like the wealthy creme de la creme people would play with these cards, and they were tarot cards. And they were kind of circulated throughout Europe for a while until, you know, the Pope got wind of its popularity. And yeah, and then it was kind of a taboo. And then it became kind of an underground thing for a while. And then I believe that was shortly around the time that the Tarot de Marseille, which was a French deck that was established. Yep. That was like mid Renaissance. We're talking like 1600 or so. When the Tarot of the Marseille was developed.
Yep.
And like Gogo said, there was one particular guy who was like a performance artist for the Queen's court in France, and he would make these elaborate spreads. That particular spread he's talking about literally uses like all 78 cards.
Well, I think he was an alchemist as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he wrote a book.
The history behind it's kind of wild that you guys were talking about going into, you know, so many like prestige cultures have, you know, acknowledged this.
So basically it was something that was known within the elite, very wealthy and royal courts of Europe. And after a while, it, like I said, it became something very underground, very taboo, and something more of an entertainment, really. Like, and then later on, it wasn't until the turn of the century when the secret society, the Order of the Golden Dawn, developed the first contemporary deck, which is the Rider-Waite. So that's pretty much the tarot card that you see in Barnes and Nobles today. Yeah, this is like the one you see for $10 in a bookstore is the Rider-Waite, and that was actually the first contemporary deck. So
that was the first one to actually be like main for like everybody.
Yep. Right. Like mass production of it. Yes.
Okay. So, but it doesn't delegitimize it. It's just that is the one that stuck for like everybody who uses tarot cards currently.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But you do have different variations. So you have the original Marseille that's still in production, that's also mass produced now. You have the Rider-Waite Smith and offshoots of Rider-Waite Smith. I think the most popular versions of the deck are Rider-Waite Smith. But then you also have the Thoth Tarot created by Aleister Crowley.
Now, are they different? Like, is it a different kind of reading when you use different deck?
I mean, it would be the same kind of reading. It's just slightly different imagery. And you still have 78 cards, but the associations with each individual card are slightly different from deck to deck.
You know, we're talking about the spiritual aspect here. And I think us touching on this is, you know, letting everyone know that there's no real dogma attached to it. You know, like for so long, when I would tell people this is what I do, essentially they would think I'm a witch. Or, you know, a Satanist, you know, that I bathe in virgin's blood, I sacrifice animals and make all these assumptions that is something that's evil or sacrilegious or not of God, quote unquote. But if you know, now that we're explaining the history, there's really much organized religion attached to it, except for, like I said, the fact that the Pope found how popular it was and it was kind of diverting the attention away from the practice of Catholicism and things like that. But essentially, yeah, there's no real dogma attached to it. They're cards.
Well, the one thing that I saw a lot of through mostly like religious on like websites and stuff like that is you guys have there's a fascination that you guys are like witches, warlock. Like it's like a taboo thing, you know, not the same as like a Ouija board, but kind of like that same realm of like you guys are trying to tap into some kind of, you know, demonization of people or something like that. Like it's bad luck. And I mean, like I said, I don't really believe in that stuff, but that comes to what we were talking about, like the spirituality part of it. It's just a separate sector of spirituality. You know, the mainstream religions out there, I've always said is kind of culty. You know, it's kind of like you stick together, you have all these things that you have to do to be part of that religion. I don't see what the big deal of, you know, people who just read tarot cards, you know what I mean? It's like kind of the same thing in an aspect, but at the same time, it's kind of freeing that you guys don't actually stick to one religion. It's actually just doing the cards. So it's a spiritual thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's a multitude of different things. Like Christians have Sunday Mass. We have to sacrifice 10 virgins every full moon, right? It's like pretty
That's
similar.
How we power
right?
up, like
I mean, exactly. Like,
well, talk about virgins. I mean, like either in like the Muslim religion, you know, if you die in the graces of, you know, just dying for Islam, you basically get what was it, 100 virgins, 1,000 virgins, or something like that. You go to heaven. You know, it's like it's kind of like these crazy things that people come up with. That's why I kind of respect the tarot cards more than anything, because it's not like you guys are, you know, all behind some crazy theories. You know, it's more or less you guys are more open to this is just a pathway for you guys to look at. You know, you don't have to believe it. You can believe it, but you know, how accurate do you guys think that it actually is, though, in your experiences?
I can personally say that it is quite accurate, because the approach that I teach primarily is intuitive tarot. So it's really based on your own intuition. And like when I'm reading for someone, it's like I'm connecting to their energy and with my own. And the cards is just kind of that gateway between, you know what I mean? And so essentially that's what the cards do. They just kind of lay out the story. And once I kind of get a glimpse into the story, then I could kind of branch out from there or whatever else intuitively comes in based on the cards. So, yeah, so it's usually that's usually what it is, the doors. Like it opens the doors for whatever else is coming in intuitively, because I'm also a psychic empath. So I explained about what an empath is a person that's sensitive to the energies, external energies of other people and things around them. Yeah. So like I kind of suck up stuff like a sponge. And when people come in and they ask for a reading, I find that the cards kind of gives me a singular focus. You know what I mean? Like it helps me to cut, you know, like to fully focus, because sometimes it could just be all over the place. Like, you know, like I can't kind of pinpoint it, but I find that the cards have been that way of that conduit of balancing my ability. So
now you said a keyword, energy. Okay. Yeah. So if somebody comes in as a 100% skeptic, no matter what you tell them, they're not going to believe a damn word you say. Now, does that have an impact on you seeing on like the card readings? Like, does that, so like for them to be a non-believer, that would, you know, impact what their path would be.
Yeah, I've had that from the gate. I've had people come to me and just like I used to do a street fair in Manhattan, the Pagan Pride Festival, and also the Witch Fest, where they had like a psychic court, and I would be there like reading palms or doing cards, and you know, people just out of curiosity would just come in and just like, okay, read my palm, and they'll like throw their hand in my face, and I'm like, okay, have a seat, you know. And I just figure it like this: if they're coming, they're somewhat of an open mind there, because if they're like, this is BS, they'll just keep it pushing, they won't even stop. So I kind of feel it's that curiosity that's kind of like that in for me to connect, you know what I mean? But I always kind of feel that energy of a standoffish nature, like when they're skeptic. So funny story, I had a woman come up and she did that. She's like, read my palm. And I was like, yeah. And she seemed like a very like straight laced kind of, yuppie Wall Street type lady, right? So she came in and I read her palm, and she was just like looking at, she didn't say a word. So I'm just telling her what I'm picking up, what I'm seeing. And she's just like looking at me, like just giving that glance. And I'm like, okay. At some point I was getting slightly uncomfortable. And at the end of it, she was like, I just can't believe you picked all that up just by looking at my hand. That's crazy. That's incredible. And then after that, she asked me to pull cards. And this lady never had a reading before. She's a Wall Street financial lawyer for a firm somewhere. And she was just like, wow, this is crazy. Like, you really opened my mind to this. Like, I've always been super skeptical and like, I just wouldn't like even bother, but you have a gift. This is awesome. Like, and she asked for my info. I gave her my card and all of that. But, honestly, I'm going to tell you, I welcome the skeptics. I'm like, come my way.
Come on, motherfuckers. Let's go. That's what I'm talking about.
I welcome it, you know, because like I said, I found that it starts dialogue. You know what I mean? And it's not like, you know, see, this is not BS, you know, because, you know, I think that's the stigma. Honestly, there are a lot of BS, quote unquote, readers out there. People that are just out for the money, people that are just looking for a side hustle, and they figure that this is something that's lucrative, you know, because you go all over Instagram, there's all these accounts now of readers, and like for $5, they'll tell you everything you need to know and all this stuff. So that kind of, you know, creates, like I said, a stigma for like, you know, real professionals that do this and take this seriously. So that's
the Miss Cleo complex. That's what they call that.
Call up
10 cents an hour. I'll tell you anything you want to hear. But that's
all day. Yeah.
But that's the scary part about it, is that since it's not such an exact thing, there are people that are going to play off of this and not know what the hell they're doing and just make up shit. Because honestly, like I said, no offense to anybody, I could go out tomorrow and put a big ass resume that's not real and just start talking to people and being like, oh yeah, you know, I might not know your past, but listen, I'm really good at telling your future. And you know, you see some guy and you feed off his energy, you just be like, hey, you know, you're gonna find a great woman next week or within the next year, and you're gonna get married and have a dog and some kids, and it's gonna be wonderful, you know. And then it doesn't come true because I'm not taking it seriously. And I feel like you guys take it seriously enough where you're only gonna give the information that you feel is what you're seeing. You're not gonna try to play off people's, you know, emotions, basically. And that's what a lot of people do. But going to Go-Go now, Have you had any of those kind of experiences with, you know, skeptic or people who kind of walked in with like the wrong energy, you know, because I know the wrong energy with anything, even with podcasting in general. If I'm dealing with people that have the bad energy, I feed off of that and I try my best to build it up. But it, sometimes it's just so hard because the energy kills me. You know what I mean? So you guys have to be so focused on what you're doing.
I think for me, it very rarely happens that I will have somebody that's a skeptic at this point. I mostly attract people who believe or are just curious, which makes things easier. I don't really think that for me personally, having a skeptic come through throws me off. It is a different energy and you're sort of scrambling for a little bit before you get on track with everything, especially if they're very resilient. But in general, it's like 9 out of 10 times I will have people who are very open or at least want to listen. And then if you get a skeptic, I think 100% of time up until now, I've had them converted into a believer, which I don't want to brag, but I think that's a personal goal that I'm happy with.
You got a good ratio, dog. You got a good ratio.
And I think that going into what both of you said before, I make a point in every single reading, if it is about future, first of all, I'll go into and take an extra minute. I will go over time if it's a 15-minute reading or half an hour reading. I'll make a point of going into the past or the present of that person or a specific situation or relationship, just to give the client a validation of what is and what was, so that what will be makes more sense. It makes things easier for me. And I think at the end of the day, it makes the reading more believable and more valid for the person who is actually receiving it, hearing it or reading it. So that's my personal stance on it. It doesn't really affect me that much unless you have somebody that's really arrogant. I've had a reading recently with a person who, as I was reading, they were interrupting my sentences and I wouldn't even finish my sentence until the end. And they were already asking the next question and there was another person with them and they were chatting and it's just distracting. That sort of thing really throws me off. If I'm talking, just let me talk. Tell me afterwards, like, oh, this made sense. This didn't make sense. And we will go into it more. So that's the only thing. Non-believers don't really bother me that much. I'm just like, no, you don't believe, whatever. Because I've had people that come through, it's like, I don't believe this. And then a couple of months later, it's like, how did you know that was going to happen? I'm like, you didn't believe. So right. There you go.
Well, that's what they need. You need to have a clear head when you're doing this. And I feel like skeptics try to clutter you because they want to kind of you to fuck up. You know what I mean? They want to fuck up because if you fuck up, then they're proven right. But, you know, they're also trying to contribute to it because they're trying to like clutter your head or give you some false information or try to talk over you. And, you know, anytime you're doing something that, you know, is serious and you're trying to be relevant with it, you know, you got to have a clear mind. You got to be focused on what you're doing. And people try to throw you off. I could see that being, you know, annoying as fuck. And I don't know. You guys have better patience than me. I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. I ain't dealing with this shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree because like I've grown thicker skin over the years. I have no qualms returning people away. I have. And you know what you were mentioning about bad energy or not good energy. I've had people who just had a bad juju that I picked up and I will just be like, oh, I can't read you. I would tell them because whatever
bad energy.
Yeah. Like just something like negative attached to them or whatever. Like I remember one time I had a party at my place and my friend came up to me with his girl and he was like, hey, Chas, read for us, you know, like, and I was like, okay, you know, but then like for some reason I just felt a bad energy like from his girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
And like I was just like, no, I'm good.
See, I need one of y'all around all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like walking around the streets, be like, oh, stay away from that guy or that girl.
But it was both of them collectively. Like I just felt something off. And
probably they're not gonna make it. That's probably why. They're probably not right for each other.
Together today.
I don't know. Damn. You know, you in a way, it's kind of psychology too. I mean, it is. And that's the part of it that people will be like, oh, well, they're just trying to play on my psychology. But, you know, I guess in the realm of you guys doing this, you kind of get like a psychology, not a degree, but more, you know, knowledge and psychology of people, you know, and there's nothing wrong with reading off the psychology of people because that's basis of what their life is. You know, if you're a miserable fuck, you can't read cards saying, hey, day, you're going to be the happiest person in the world. You know what I mean? It's up to the person, you know? That's why the non-exact science behind it makes perfect sense, because everybody's their own person. You know, if you're a really miserable fucking person and you don't want to change your life around, you guys can't just pull out some cards and be like, you're going to be fucking happy. You know what I mean? And that's the fucked up part that people don't get. You know, that's a lot of the stuff I was reading, is that people weren't happy with their readings, or they thought, oh, it was all phony. There was nothing about their lives, but people are fucking in denial. Like, you know, like they don't realize what that's the thing. If you're in denial about how your life is, how is anybody supposed to predict, you know, they come in with a bad attitude. Oh, well, they're telling me I'm this and that. Well, you came in with a bad attitude, so you probably have a bad attitude normally, you know?
Right, exactly. And I've had experiences like that where stuff would just come in that was off topic, you know what I mean? And I didn't ask you that. I'm like, well, it's there. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you what I get. I said, listen, no shoot the messenger. I'm telling you what's coming in. And if I'm calling you out in some way, it's not, listen, this is a judgment-free zone. And that's the thing about it. There's no judgment in the readings. I don't judge. I don't know you from a can of paint. You know what I mean? So when I go in, I'm just going in like
free-minded on it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And like, so when people come to me and I see certain things and there's things that they really didn't want to go into, I'm like, this kind of comes with the territory. There's going to be other, you know, like the whole point of Arcana, like Gogo said, the meaning of the cards is secret. So the cards tend to call people out and reveal things.
Right.
Just to give a funny example, I've had this in the past where a girl came up to me asking me, you know, usually you get a lot of love readings, of course, relationships and things like that. So she came to me and was like, hey, you know, I want to know why my boyfriend hasn't been reaching out to me. He kind of ghosted. I want to know why. Blah, 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 blah.
I love it. I want to know where this is going. Yeah. Oh, the stank bitches. That's what I call them. Yeah. I don't want to deal with you.
She was upset and like she wanted to know, and I pulled out the cards, and based on the cards, the gentleman is married.
Damn.
So I'm like, well, from what I'm seeing here, the reason why he hasn't contacted you is because he's married. He's home with his family, his kids, and whatever. And from what I'm seeing here, homie's on vacation, family vacation right now. And there was just like a long pause, and she was like, well, you're lying because he told me he's on a business vacation. I was like, no, he's with the fam and they're probably in Disney World just like living their best life right now. So she was just mad and she was like, no, he said he's on a business trip. He's on a business trip. I'm like, hey, look, listen, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what I see here.
Was it true? Was he? It was?
He was. Like, she contacted me like 2 weeks later, like, you know, you're the first reader to like really tell me the truth, you know, like, because she said other readers that had told her, oh, you know, he's going to reach out to you in X amount of time and you guys are going to be fine and whatever. No, he was away. He was with his family. And, you know, because she asked him, and I think that's what bugged him out. He's like, how did you know? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like,
so damn.
Things like that come up in the cars, like I said, and I'm just like, oh, I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not trying to put you on blast, but essentially that's what I see here. So, and
it's better to know, man. It's better to know. Like,
she knew he was married. That's the thing. It wasn't like she didn't know. She knew.
That's her fault then. I don't even want to hear that shit. I wouldn't even talk to people like that. I'm like, bitch, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Why you fucking with a married man? And then you expect to have some good karma. And that is where I want to go with this right now. Karma. Okay. Mm-hmm. Karma's big. And I would think in your line of what you do, you know, karma's a big thing, you know, because karma is kind of one of those non-religious but kind of spiritual things where, you know, you do good by people. My whole thing is I try to do good by everybody in my job, in my life. I try to be honest, and, you know, I'm not perfect. Nobody's fucking perfect. But I just feel like, you know, doing good by people will convert into good things happening to you, you know? And in your line of work, like I said, do you see a lot of these people? Like you said, you're talking to a woman who's fucking around with a married man. Like, that's fucked up. Like, do you see a lot of, like, in your readings that these people don't typically have, like, good, I don't know, like good pathways?
Yeah, like a moral compass. No, it's usually compromised in situations like that. And I think honestly, like I said, I don't judge anybody that comes in. I, you know, neither does Gogo. It's like, we're not about that life. You know, we're just readers. We're going to read what comes in and it is what it is. However, like, if I'm seeing here, like, there's a lack of moral compass here, and this person, like, I had another reading that was similar. And this is another thing that kind of comes with the territory. Like you said, we tend to be deemed as witches, or, you know, some readers are about that life. They do witchcraft and things like that. I for one don't. I mean, I practice, I don't practice, I respect, I acknowledge, because it's, you know, and in my heritage, but I'm not a practitioner, like, along with my readings and do spell work and things like that. So I had a girl come to me that she wanted to do something. Her, you know, boyfriend dumped her. She was mad, and she wanted to do something to the new girl, and because she thinks the new girl's doing stuff to her. And it was just like, this was her own psychological stuff going on. Like, she was just salty. She was just salty. She got dumped. Okay. And like, because I pulled the cards, I didn't see anything indicative of, you know, black magic or voodoo spells or Santeria spells. None of that crap came up. Not that it's crap. I'm not offending. No, this, like, again, this isn't my, you know, family. I respect it, but none of that stuff came up. And I just told her, I said, listen, I don't really see anything's being done to you. I just feel like this is something that you have to work in within yourself. I think it's about coming to a place of acceptance of what is here. And that if you keep throwing that out there, it's just going to bring negativity to you, like just gravitate to you. Because I say, you know, there's power of words, there's power in intention that comes back. I don't even have to pull cards to tell you that, you know what I mean? And it was just like, and then I got the devil card, and the devil card is usually indicative of obsession. Basically what I picked up, I said, there's more of an obsessive nature here. Like, you can't come to a place of acceptance that he's moved on.
Yeah.
He's like, there's nothing you can do for me. Like, I was like, I'm just a reader. I'm not a miracle worker.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, people, I guess, go to you guys looking for a miracle sometimes. And that's just not how the world works. As I was talking to you before the we started this, you know, I'm into like science and stuff like that. And I just feel like there's always an answer, but you have to figure out the equation to that answer. It's, you know, the answer's there, but you got to figure out the pathway to get there. So like, if you're doing all the wrong things, your answer is not going to be the answer you want, you know? So right. It kind of, like I said, it relates to what you guys are doing. If you're living that kind of life and you have that kind of karma, it's because that's what your life equations have come out to, you know? It's just, you need to make a better way for you. But going more into it, Gogo, what is your feelings about like karma and the card readings that you do with people?
Well, I feel that for me, karma as a principle doesn't really apply under that term. I more so name it the threefold law. So anything that you send out is going to come back to you threefold, right? Which is more of a pagan witchy principle in that sense. But yeah, I feel like in that respect, I do see the karmic stuff coming up for a lot of people. Some people I know do spells, do hexes. The example you gave before, they want to, the new girl or the new guy, they want to get rid of them, and they will do shit to get rid of them. I've had people come through doing like death spells, mind control spells, heart control, anything and everything that you can imagine. And sometimes you do see that backlash immediately. Sometimes it takes a while, and some people just go unscathed.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time for people who are very ego-centered and who are very detached from that aspect of seeing the repercussions of their actions, you will have things happen to the people around them, right? So family, friends, people that they encounter, they will go through similar situations, basically universe mirroring back, hey, bitch, you did that wrong. Now you look at it, look at the shit that you did. Now you have it back in your face. That was one thing. I've also seen, going, touching on the psycho-spiritual side of things, you mentioned that before. And you do sometimes see people who have been in negative emotions or surrounded by negativity for so long that it becomes something else. It is no longer a feeling. I've had entities come through in readings that were created by so much negativity emotionally and mentally that ultimately it becomes an entity of its own. You could call it a demon or a spirit, whatever.
Well, they say like the black cloud that like lingers over you.
Yeah. A black cloud is one thing, but it can go way, way darker.
So wait a minute. Are we talking like, oh shit, you just opened up some shit, bro? We talk about some demons, bro. Yeah.
Listen, oh my god. So the experiences.
So this is something that you guys believe in that? Like, do you believe in like little like demons or like entities that are above this world, you know, that?
Listen, I had something follow me for 3 months that had hooves. So if that's not a fucking demon, I don't know what is.
That had hooves? What the fuck are you talking about, bro? That's the Croatian chupacabra, bro. I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Listen, chupacabra is not like 3 or 4 meters high. I don't know how many feet that would be, but quite fucking tall. I think 8 feet almost. So that type of shit on four legs. I don't think chupacabra is like bigger than like a greyhound or something. I had that follow me and I brought that over from another state when I was visiting my cousin that came home with me. So following me for like 2 or 3 months. And you remember, Chas, we had conversations.
Now, when you say that. Following you, you said following you.
Yeah.
So it's like this, like you explain that because I'm a little confused now. This is some shit.
Following me in the essence of wherever I would go, I would just hear the footsteps behind me or the hooves behind me. And I would hear breathing and stuff like that. Whenever we did a call with Chas, I think that was last year, beginning of last year or the year before that, I was sitting right here and there's a window to my left so I can see straight out of it. And we were talking about a project and I saw that thing like a shadow shape with red eyes, huge. And that's interesting. It had hooves, but it was on a tree. It was at the top of a tree looking at me.
That's fucking nuts, bro.
And that's, how'd you get rid of it? Thing. I had to go back to my cousin to another country, basically, and had her do basically a ritual, a cleansing with me. And like the two of us alone were not enough. I had to use cards. I had to summon spirits, basically. I had to summon my guardians. I even used other demon cards that I have to summon those spirits to take that shit away because it would not go. It would not go.
This is wild. This is way more than I thought we were going to get into. Now we talk about demons.
Listen, there are things out there that are scary as shit.
Do you think it's from the cards?
No. It's not from the cards because for me, the cards don't usually pick up on something that's more demonic, right? Mm. So the principle that I work on, and I think Chas has explained that before, is I connect to the person, right? And I had a person asking me about their house. They had something, a weird feeling in their house. So, let's look into it. I pulled some cards to see just if I pick up on anything. The cards were like all jumbled. Nothing made sense. So, let's go intuitively into this space. When I visualized myself in that room, there was like a dog-sized thing hanging from the ceiling in her bedroom that just like in my kind of a vision jumped at me. Started to run towards me. Another instance was when I read for a voodoo priest. And there was like, I was like the traditional or typical American detective thing. Like you're placed in a room and there's just a single light on you. That was what I got. And just figures that were like probably 20 feet more hard than me at that point in my vision, just looking down at me and basically saying, if you fuck up, we're gonna mess your life up.
Is this more of something that you've had your whole life, kind of? Like, are you more sensitive to these things? Like, would you say?
Naturally, I would presume so. Yeah, but I think that a lot of it I'm not aware of. My ex-girlfriend, she was a very powerful medium. She never really practiced anything, but she told me that I apparently took her demon with me.
Oh, so y'all broke up and she said, bitch, you could take this with you.
No. We were in a relationship. We were in a relationship and she apparently her grandma did black magic and she found her witch book, basically a grimoire, and burned it. And there was a demon attached to that book is what she explained to me.
Damn.
And that thing was following her around and she could actually command it. There was a guy that she was dating in the past, she said, and he was being a bit kind of over the top with her, being a bit too touchy and stuff like that. So she sent that thing to choke him out.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Stop. the fucking demon fucking thing that came out of the book choked out somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. And I apparently took it with me unknowingly. She's like, oh, my demon is missing. I'm like, where did it go? She's like, I don't know. A month later, he came back and she's like, oh, he tells me he was with you. You took him away. And I'm like, I didn't know I took him away.
So did he bother you? Or no, he just chill with
I didn't.
You?
I didn't feel him. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything.
He was just hanging out.
He was with me. Yeah,
hanging along.
Yo, yeah. If I still smoke bud, man, I swear, if I had a demon with me, I'd be like, yo, you want to take a hit, bro? Like,
I mean, me
out.
Too.
Right? Like, oh, yo, let's
at this
chill,
point,
bro.
It's like, just relax, bro. Damn, it's fine.
Chas, you have any of this shit that goes on with you? You have this? Like,
I've had my share.
You have.
I want to hear. About you had this. It worse, I think.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I did not get into this conversation thinking about any of this shit. But this is just fucking intriguing now.
Told you, we are most probably gonna get off script.
Oh, I don't even care. I want to hear about these fucking demons, man. I don't know. I'm looking around the room now, like, what the fuck? But yeah, go ahead, Chas. I want to hear about your demons or hooves or whatever the fuck is going on in your life.
The horns, the claws.
Like I talk about as I look around as I talk about this. All right. For me, it's something that I've always been sensitive to, like since a kid, you know, like the sixth sense. You remember the kid in the movie?
Yeah.
He would just see them everywhere. That's kind of how it was for me growing up. Like I was always scared, like literally scared shitless often. I would go to people's house and see stuff. I couldn't look at the cemetery. Like, remember the part of the movie where he's passing through the cemetery on the bus and he just turns his head real quick and he starts freaking out? That used to literally be me. I used to be on the train because I used to live along the L train, and I used to pass through Evergreen Cemetery, which is a very old cemetery in New York, in Brooklyn. And I just used to turn my head as a kid because I used to see just people walking around, like just congregating. I used to see that all the time. And I didn't talk about it because I was terrified and I didn't know how to tell people. And it's just something that, you know, like I would, that would happen, like a, you know, became the norm. And I just was scared all the time. But as I got older and I started, you know, I got into the cards and everything, I've had my experiences where something followed and lingered as well. It was one girl that I was reading for, and I knew she was kind of like, she was like a goth chick, you know, so she was always about, you know, the black magic and the Satanist stuff, you know, for the shock value because she's goth and all of that. But I didn't really know at the time that she was delving deep into stuff like blood magic and things like that. I didn't know how far down the rabbit hole it was going with her. Okay. And there's, you know, a type of magic called sigil magics. Sigils are like little words or symbols that summon. And I don't know what is going on.
It's because you're talking about these demons that are coming at you right now.
They don't want me to talk about them.
Nah, just make sure this shit don't go through Zoom, bro. I don't need no more negativity in my life.
I don't know, you're
like,
fine.
Somebody don't want me to talk about this, but it's
with the two of us, the demons run away.
Again, like I knew she would, you know, she had her like thing, but I didn't know that she was like delving into sigil magic or blood magic or, you know, getting into the satanic Bible stuff like that. I didn't know. I mean, she would joke around, but I didn't know like she was really doing stuff like behind closed doors. So I had read for her a couple of times, and I noticed that I would feel like a energy in my house, and I'm like, yo, what the hell? Like, you know, like when you feel like you're being watched. I started feeling that for like a couple of days, and immediately I got into cleansing mode. Like whatever this shit is, it needs to go. So I started saging, I started salting, doing whatever I can to get this shit out. And I guess for whatever reason, it got upset. And I think it escalated to the point where I was attacked by this thing. I was laying down on my bed and it pulled me off the bed. And like the force, like the strength, I never forget, because it grabbed me by the ankles and it just grabbed me like tight, and it was not human strength. And it was, you could feel the hands, and it wasn't like normal human hands. It was like big. And I just felt literally like almost my ankles crushing. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then like, I immediately called my guardians and like my ancestors or whatever. And it abruptly let go. And I remember just being pushed back on my bed, like what the hell just happened? And my ex-boyfriend was witness, because he was there when this happened.
He couldn't do nothing though, right?
No, he was just like, what the you know, like he just could not believe
it's
what
not
he
like
saw.
Something you can give a two-piece to and like get the fuck out of here. It's like not imaginary, but it's so weird. But yeah. One thing I picked up you said before is like, you said this is in your heritage, so mm-hmm. I'm guessing you're Spanish.
Yes, I'm Puerto Rican.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know my best friend Jay Buddha, who's on the podcast, he's Puerto Rican too, and I know he's mentioned things about in Puerto Rican culture that there are spiritual things that go on with like elders. you know what I mean, that have like, you know, right. they do these type of things. So maybe just touch base on that. Because I mean, if you saying that you had to summon like your ancestors and stuff like that, so I guess you have a deep rooted foundation in, you know, spirituality on that aspect. I don't know witches or anything. I'm not going to say that. But like in that kind of realm.
I do. And I didn't know, actually, it was funny because how honestly I got introduced to tarot was a homegirl in high school came with a deck of cards one day. And, you know, it was just fun. You know, like she would pull the cards and tell us what the cards were and what they meant. And it was just fascinating to me. I remember she was actually Jewish and her mom was like a Kabbalah instructor. So like that's tarot is very prevalent in Kabbalah as well. So she came and she was like reading for us. And I immediately was intrigued. I was drawn in. And I remember like a couple of weeks later, I go to a Barnes and Nobles and I'm with my mom and I'm like, hey, Mom, can I get a deck of cards? You know, my mom's just looking at me like, why? Really? You want tarot cards? And I was like, yeah, I thought, you know, I thought I think it's cool. My friend has a deck. She read for us. And I'm like, I want to try it out. And my mom's like, you know, your grandmother used to read, right? I had no clue. And this is my paternal grandmother, my father's mother. So, yeah. So apparently she had a botanica. You know what a botanica is? It's one of those Spanish spiritual shops that.
Yeah.
You tend to see in the hood, you know, like in the inner city. So my grandmother had a botanica for some time and she used to do readings and stuff like that. And I honestly didn't know. It was just something I was drawn to and curious about. And so my mom found that really interesting. She got me the deck of cards. And like I said, the rest is history. But it wasn't until I went to Puerto Rico for the first time in 2005 that I see like in the Caribbean, how normal spirituality is, how normal the talk of entities and ancestors and it's just the norm out there.
Well, it's different like sectors out there, because like then you look at like Dominican Republic and Haiti, mm-hmm. and you know, voodooism is prevalent out there.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then it follows us to America, where like, you know, Louisiana has a lot of Haitian and Creole background, and you find a lot of voodooism there. Is there like not a competition, but is there kind of like a dispute between like, you know, like the Puerto Rican ancestors of like their craft in the spirituality and, you know, voodooism with the Creole people and stuff like that? Or is like, is it all kind of the same basis, just practiced differently?
Basically it's an umbrella. Voodoo, Santeria, Hoodoo, it's all African based. And it has to do with different tribes. The Yoruba tribe was indigenous to Nigeria. The most popular Santeria and Voodoo, Hoodoo is practiced by Yoruba tradition. And then there's also there's tribes from Congo and other, you know, parts of Africa. But the Yoruba is the most popularized. And what we practiced in my family and most of the Latin Caribbean countries was Santeria, which basically was traditional Yoruba voodoo. But what we did was hide the gods in Catholic saints to kind of throw the conquistadors off from us practicing, the slaves practicing their religion under a guise of Catholic saints. So that's essentially how Santeria was founded. But in essence, the root of it is African voodoo.
Well, that brings into the whole, you know, religious part about it. So we think about religion and, you know, it's like who's right and who's wrong. That's usually the debate about it. And that's what causes so many wars and unfortunate people die over this shit. But, you know, it all stems back to our culture that, you know, everyone's culture roots back to Africa. And like I said, I'm in the science. So everybody's culture roots back to Africa. Africa is the breeding ground of humanity, of what we are today. And so, you know, the paganism in it of believing in idols and things and gods. And I've always said on the podcast, you know, like, who are we to say, you know, that Catholics believe in Jesus Christ and one God? But then you have people, not even African descent, but you have people like Norwegian descent and stuff like that. You know, the Vikings who believe in Valhalla and they believe in multiple gods, and they have, you know, Freydis and they have, you know, Thor and they have Odin, you know. So who says that they're wrong and that there isn't multiple gods? I don't really, I mostly believe, like you kind of said, like an umbrella. I just feel like there is a higher power out there.
Right.
So it's kind of like what you're doing is not you know, anything towards like gods and stuff like that. It's mostly just, you know, personal experience and psychology and stuff like that, which I'm more in tune with because it's more kind of alternative science kind of based in a way. It's kind of, I don't know if you agree or not with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I do. There, you know, there is a science to what we do, especially if you get into astrology, because I'm also an astrologer. So the astrological aspect of things is very scientific because it actually has to do with the positions of the stars and the planets in the sky.
Astronomy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, astrology is older than astronomy. So it was practiced a longer period of time, but it just became more of a contemporary science, kind of separating the spiritual aspect of it. But if you go back like thousands of years, astrology was practiced in many ancient civilizations going way back.
Before any religions, for any religions. And that's the one thing that I've always watched. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the film Zeitgeist. It's a, if you have, yes. Okay. Yeah. Go. You have to watch it. I see you shake your head over there.
no, I haven't seen that.
No, you have to watch Zeitgeist. And this show actually, you know, this movie actually opened my eyes to a lot. And I started doing a lot more research. And, you know, the foundations of religion and spirituality and stuff like that comes from a higher power, which is up in the stars. And people don't know, like people didn't know we were just on this rock and there was a bunch of shit above us. You know, they just saw and they tracked the lining of the stars and the sun and the moon. And a lot of the pre-religions and, you know, paganism comes from astrology, like you were saying before. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the religions, you know, everything kind of corresponds to astrology, you know, saying like, you know, Jesus was born on December 25th. What goes on December 25th? It's the third day of the winter solstice, you know? So that's the sun, right. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that correspond, you know, Easter, you know, that's the spring or whatever it's called, the Orthodox spring or something like that, you know?
That's Celtic.
You know, so it's like all these religions are actually one. Everybody actually is believing the same thing. And that's where I don't like mainstream religion, because it kind of like made their own, it's like they made their own story with it. It's like, okay, we all believe in the same thing, but you know, I want to throw a loop in there. I'm gonna make my own book. It's like we all live through the same encounters, but each one of us write a book on our depiction of it, and we're all like, oh no, we're right, you know? So that's the intriguing part about it. And I feel like what you guys, this is just a sector of that. It's just you guys are more open to, like I said, criticism. It's hard to criticize, you know, someone who's Jewish or Catholic or Muslim, because it's like the main religions are Hindu, you know. Mm-hmm. But in the same realm of it, you know, everything comes back to what you were saying, astrology and in the stars and tracking, you know, life in general, like the purpose of life.
And then that's astrology is also a very big aspect of tarot. Actually, there's astrological cards that are they're specifically for certain signs. And then there's actual what they call transits, which is when specific planets are aligned. So, yeah, so there's specific cards that speak of transits, like, for instance, when Venus is in the position of Sagittarius, right? So that'll be Venus is the planet of career and love and pleasures. When it's in Sagittarius, it's more fiery, it's more passionate, it's more of a impulsive energy, right? So there's specific cards for that. I believe it's the three of wands is Venus and Sagittarius. Yeah. So it kind of, that's also an aspect of it too, to get into understanding specific transits, positions of the planets. And with the major cards is knowing the astrological cards, like the star card is the Aquarius card. Right. So you could kind of base that off of interpretation too. Like a Aquarian's very freedom loving, very, the humanitarian. So if you want to know characteristics about someone, for instance, and you pull out the star, this is someone that is very much about the people and the collective and helping others out, maybe very charitable, may do a lot of volunteer work, may, you know, philanthropy, things like that. You could kind of base that on that kind of depiction of Aquarian energy with the star card. The death card is Scorpio. So this could be a person that's kind of very dark in nature, has a very kind of quiet, mysterious nature.
Hey, I like my scorpions, man. I'm a Scorpio. I got a Scorpio.
You're a Scorpio? Scorpio, you guys are, you know, you look at the darker aspects of things, and you guys tend to not be afraid to delve into the deep things most people are afraid to. So that would be, and then, you know, you guys are constantly there's a transformation process with you guys. You know, you learn one thing, you change, you close that door, open a new door. So it's always that kind of transformation mode for Scorpios that y'all tend to go through. And like I said, you guys are still waters run deep. You are very intuitive, but, you know, you kind of keep it close to vest, only revealing it when you feel you need to, kind of thing.
I agree. I can't disagree with that. Only thing I have with the, you know, the signs, like I said, I have a Scorpio on me. I tattooed a scorpion with the symbol on it. But the one thing that I kind of learned even after I got the tattoo was that, you know, the astrology has changed, you know, like the stars and everything has changed. So what I was born in 1990. So what I was born in 1990 was Scorpio. But if I was born thousands of years before, I would have been a different sign. So that's the one thing that's kind of thrown me off with it. You know, but I mean, maybe it has to do with the time period that you were born. So you're kind of locked into that, you know, because that's where you were in that time period. That's where I kind of, you know, try to make it okay that I got the tattoo and kind of want to believe in that. Because I do kind of follow that. You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of signs kind of, it does come to fruition, you know, with how people act and stuff like that. Not 100%. But I definitely, throughout my whole life, just looking up the Scorpio sign and stuff like that, I find a lot of things that are real about it. That's really me. You know what I mean? Like, you were just even talking about opening doors and doing new things. Like, I literally, like, I started this in December, and it was literally like the beginning of December. I was like, you know what? I want to be a podcaster. I was like, all right, I'm just going to fucking do it. So I went out and bought like fucking $1,000 worth of equipment and just was like, all right, let's go. And so, like, it's been my thing, and I put everything into it. You know, like, I started a new job last year, like 2 years ago. I used to work in healthcare, and I used to serve like at a restaurant. I was like, you know what? I want to basically try something new. So I was like, I went and just became an HVAC tech. And now, like, I'm just fucking thriving doing that. And it was just a door that opened, and it's like, just go. It's like full throttle. It's like there's no half ass when it comes to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the way of Scorpios, that constant death and rebirth process that you guys go through. And I find it very fascinating, like that. I have a lot of good friends that are Scorpios, and I think it's what fascinates me most, like I said, is that you guys are not afraid to talk about the deep things, like the secrets of the universe type stuff, and not get afraid of it, because you guys just want to go deeper. You know what I mean? And that's something that I find that's really cool universally about the Scorpio energy. You know, like Gogo, he's Sag. So it's just anything goes. That's Sagittarius.
So. Kind of what it was that like.
I just get bored easily. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But what date are you? What,
me?
In Scorpio, yeah. Yeah, you.
November 13th.
So kind of in the middle, closer to Sagittarius. So that makes sense. Makes sense with that sort of impulse thing.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. I don't know too much about it. I'm not like I don't get delved way too into it. I just kind of go with, like, I'll read it sometimes. You know, I get curious. So I'll just like jump on, read my horoscope. You're like, all right, well, kind of similar, you know, like looking at the background of Scorpios. I'm like, yeah, that pretty much fits me pretty well. But then again, there's a lot of it as, you know, as people, we're very curious. You know, people are curious, and, you know, we're very easily manipulated, not in a bad way, but we're easily manipulated where we read things and we kind of want to feel included. You know, the whole point of human life is we want to be inclusive with each other. We want to continue our species. We want to, you know, move forward in life ourselves and our children or grandchildren down the line. But we want to feel included. You know, we come from a very tribalism society of where that's really what started humanity as we are now. You know, talking about even religion, you know, so it's kind of accepting to think of the facts of, you know, looking at the stars and trying to figure out like who everybody is and where do you fit in your tribalism, and everyone's different in a tribe. but you're still a tribe altogether, you know, and that, yeah. And that's the biggest thing about people. That's why I'm never 100% on stuff like that. I'm more questioning, like you were saying, like question thing, try to dig deep into them. And, you know, I'll live my whole life and probably never know the answers to a lot of shit, but I love learning about it, you know. But for like your sense, Gogo, when you're doing stuff like this, because I see you over there, you seem like you have something to say about this whole realm of it, because you seem very sensitive to these things, like out of body kind of feelings and stuff like that. So like for yourself in like the realm of like astrology and stuff like that, do you see similarities to people who have like certain signs and stuff like that when you're reading cards?
Yeah. Oftentimes it does show up. I'm not that big into astrology. I don't practice it personally. I did take a course a while back just to kind of the basics, and that was it. It's a whole system and very complicated at certain parts. I presume if I invested more time, I would be a master by now. But there goes the Sagittarius. It's like I dipped my toe in and that was enough for me. But yeah, oftentimes when I'm doing readings, especially if I'm reading personalities, more so a specific person, or what they are all about, you'll get certain feelings if somebody is more fiery, somebody's more earthy, watery, or air energy, right? And something like that does show up a lot of the time, where you'll be like, okay, is this person by chance like a fire sign, maybe like a Sagittarius or Aries, for example? And oftentimes I'll be like, yeah, they are. So stuff like that. In general, I do find the astrology to be very true in that sense, doing my own chart, and looking at other people who say like, oh, I've done my chart and this and this and this came up. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense with who you are as a person. So yeah, I find it connects and interlinks, as Shah said before, the Kabbalah, astrology, numerology, even. It's all part of the system of tarot in one way or another. And you can find at least traces of it in each card or in the system at large. So yeah, it's a very interconnected web, I would say.
I recently I don't know, I fall for these Facebook things sometimes. I'm guilty as fuck when it comes to it. So like it came up with like this whole, like you were just talking about numerology. Mm-hmm. I was fascinated. I was like, you could tell me a bunch of shit just by like the numbers and my birthday, or numbers and like specific times and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like are you guys into stuff like that too, like numerology?
Yeah.
See, I read things and I try to get in depth with them, but I kind of lose track of it sometimes. So maybe you can explain that better for me, either Chash or Gogo, just to explain the numerology. I did the whole system. Like I put the numbers in, I calculated it. It came up with something that seemed pretty legit. I don't know. So like explain it more in depth for me, though, just so I can understand it.
Okay, so there's different facets of numerology. Like in Kabbalah, they practice what you call gematria, and it's actually very scientific based. So this might be right up your alley, where
they base it
on sacred geometry, specific shapes and angles that determine energies and portals and things like that. Vibrational energy. This is very quantum physics. Like, you know, you think of Nikola Tesla, he talked about specific realms of energy. That's how we're able to have sound waves today. With different hierarchies of sound and light and things like that, that's all vibrational energy. So again, quantum physics, this is basic science stuff. So we are vibrational beacons, right? Mm-hmm. So there's different levels to us. And depending of where we are, you know, for the day, let's say, you know, we're not feeling very good, or you might be under the weather or something like that. You might be at a lower frequency. You might be at a lower vibration or susceptible to lower vibrational energies. Okay. Again, this is science stuff. So you might be more sensitive in that aspect. So what they talk about is really how to maintain a higher vibration, or what things you can do. And with numerology, I practice the more Greek version, which is the Pythagorean system, and it goes with letters and numbers. And like you could break down your birthday, you could break down your phone number, your address, everything into a one single digit that'll be the vibration. For example, if you have your apartment number broken down or your address, and let's say it's an 8 vibration, right? The eight vibration is about manifestation. It's a financial number, so it could attract business opportunities and things like that. You might find that you're more a business, you have a more business-like approach to the energy in your home, or you may work out of your house. Things like that. If it's a two vibration, two is about duality, feminine, masculine. So this will be more of a connection sort of energy, working with others, feeling the duality of nature of things, the feminine aspects, the masculine aspects, and that integration. And there's more, like if it's a house, this will be a house where you may more than likely cohabitate with somebody. At some point, even if you're single and you have a two household, either you might have a roommate or you might shack up with your girl or your boy or your boyfriend or whatever. At some point, twos tend to be a cohabitation energy. So the numbers all give off specific vibrations. A three vibration is about communication and being jovial and talking and dialoguing and having fun, telling jokes. It's like the social butterfly energy, right? So if your house is like a three vibration, you know, there's a place where you hang out with your boys and you're laughing, you're cutting it up and you're having a good time. Four vibration is more structured, more about learning. So this might be a house where you're, you know, taking up studies, learning a new trade or something like that. And five is just crazy energy. Five is the chaos number. So it's just everything tends to just be all over the place at times. And it's also a dramatic number. So there may be like drama that's attracted either from you or from other people.
Stay away from that five.
I had a five apartment. Apartment. And oh, goodness. Yes, it really fit that bill. But how I find it worked for me was with my craft and what I do is just people came to me with their issues and dramas and things like that. And I was able to help them with my readings and stuff. So the energy did work in my favor. And I did have a lot of social gatherings, a lot of parties, and they had gotten crazy at times. So the five energy, it gets a little crazy, but if you embrace it and it can work in your favor.
True. But talk about, you know, like you were saying, the numerology important about it and like the frequencies. Yeah. Even in like, you know, the intro audio we have going into the reverse universe, my boy Marucci, who's on the show often, that's what he talks about. He's all about frequencies and vibrations. And he's always saying, you know, in the intro, he says like there's people in like laboratories trying to like manipulate our frequencies and vibrations through media and stuff like that to make us feel a certain type of way. And I mean, I've always believed that too. I've always believed that, you know, these things that we're talking about, like, you know, we're talking about numbers and stuff like that, create a frequency, a vibration. But at the same time, you know, I feel like that can be disrupted by people, outside elements, putting themselves in the realm of changing your frequencies and changing your vibrations to make you believe a certain type of way or to cohere you to a certain path that they want you to follow. You know, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like, you know, it's not just the numbers, but people can actually change those frequencies within the numbers?
Oh yeah, without question. And I'll just tell you, this is like secret society type shit.
Oh shit. Illuminati.
This is actually like, I had a good friend of mine, when him and I just started a dialogue one day and we were talking about numerology, and he was part of a college fraternity, and he was like one of those elite fraternities and whatever. And one of their final exams had to do with coding, and coding is numerological coding. And that's something that's very prevalent in secret societies. In fraternities and things like that. Like I explained, the Greek version is what I do. And, you know, a lot of fraternities are Greek based. They have the Greek symbols and the, you know, like Phi Kappa and things like that. So numerology is very prevalent in fraternities, often in sororities as well. So he explained that he had a code, a certain text that they had given him, like an old text from the university. He had to code it and kind of manipulate it into his own way. So that is most definitely prevalent in numerology. And like I said, it's secret society and elite type stuff because you can actually manipulate energies with numerology. I mean, going into sigils with symbols like the Nike symbol or the Jordan symbol, logos is a form of sigil magic, and it sends off a certain energy and a vibration, and subliminal messaging is essentially that form of alchemy. Okay. And you can do subliminal messaging with numbers and with words as well. So that is, I guess, kind of correlates with the alchemy and the manipulation of the energies. So, yeah, it definitely is not far off. It's not conspiracy. You can, if you really know the ins and outs of this, you can manipulate it to your favor. A lot of times, even specific dates, why people do things on specific dates, because those specific dates have specific energies. You know, like if you want to like play the lotto, you want to go out and gamble, go to Vegas or something, you might want to go on a day that breaks down to a 2, 4, or 8 because those are the money numbers. But if you want big money, I would suggest like an 8 day, like any kind of interval of 8, like 8, 16 and so on going down, you know, to the end of the month. But yeah, like those are usually indicative of good money numbers. So I've had people come to me for readings like, oh, can you give me numbers? And I've given them numbers. So like, how you can do that, everybody has a birth path number, right? So how you find your birth path number is you break your birthday down into a single digit, right? And, from there, you kind of, that's like your, specific vibration throughout your life. That is where your goal is. Like, that's your route. Like, that's where you're working toward, like in this lifetime. Like, I'm a 6 vibration. So the 6 vibration is a humanitarian. It's nurturing and caring of others. So yeah, so that's essentially my, you know, rooted vibration.
So my thing about all of this is the fact that the things that we are talking about, like the tarot cards, the numerology, astrology, everything, it's all just quantifiable things that we've put labels on, names for frequencies, basically different energetic imprints, right? Because you were talking about the numerology and the aspect of like number one, the beginnings and stuff like that. When you look at a tarot, the first card is the Fool, which also presents new beginnings. You look at the astrology, the first sign is Aries, which is also very fiery, creative, progressive energy. So for me in all of this, it's just the physical human aspect of us putting a name onto something to make it more understandable and more approachable. Because if you were just like, it's the energy of Monday, and nobody would know what that is, right? So that makes more sense. And I feel like all of this is just a human perspective onto something that's very universal. And that's, again, what we were touching on before, like the religious aspect. My personal perspective is that each religion and each belief holds a part of the greater truth. And it may be completely, one religion may be completely true for a specific person, but for someone like me and you, Chance, for example, we can pull from different things and see like, okay, that makes more sense to us, or that makes more sense with this situation, and we can pull from that. So it all kind of ties into that aspect. It's all the same frequency or the same energy. We just put different names and different labels on it to make it more understandable based off of the culture, based off of the surroundings, based off of our own personal beliefs. So, yeah, I believe it's all the same at the end of the day.
And that ties back into just trying to understand things in general, you know, like everybody wants to understand, everybody wants the answers to everything. And we don't realize that the answers are not just given to us. We create our own answers. So if you want better answers, you can believe in numerology, you can believe in the tarot cards, you can believe in all this stuff. But if you're not contributing to your own reality, you're not going to get the answers you want. And like you guys feed off, because that's kind of what you guys are doing. You're feeding off the frequencies and vibrations of people and the cards. I mean, once again, I'm not 100% believer in it, but you know, if the cards are relaying these things out, it's the, you know, it's the frequencies and vibrations of the people that are relaying these cards. Like one question I have that I didn't hit on before though, is like when you're doing the cards, right? Is this like a random shuffle that you do with the cards first? You let the person do the shuffle?
My cards are not touched by anybody else. No, that's a no-no.
Nobody touches the go-go's.
No, talking about what we talked just now, the energies, like you have people bringing in all sorts of different energies. So for them to touch that and mess with that, and then me going to read into it can disrupt sometimes.
Yeah, but isn't it their energies you're reading? So wouldn't you want them to give off?
Yes,
the
it is. But it's almost like for me, I make a difference in the aspect of when I connect to a person, I choose where the boundary is, how much energy I'm going to pull from them, or basically I'm just tuning into where they are, where they were, and what their most likely path is. Right, with them touching the cards, they're basically leaving an imprint of themselves on the actual cards. So that's the difference, right? And that's where things can get a bit more tricky. Because I've had people play with my cards when I was beginning, and some people just, as we were talking about before, have an odd energy, or they have negativity around them or whatever. And I would have cards act very weird and give strange answers for like a week after that, because somebody touched them and they left their imprint on it. So there is a difference in that sense.
With I get that.
Us connecting to a person, there's a limit, there's a boundary, and it's okay, I'm just figuring out what you're all about, and that's it.
Right. I do get that, because it's like you want it in a controlled arena where it's like you're the one who's going to control the situation of it, and you don't want their terrible energy or their great energy to reflect on the cards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, exactly. I can understand that, but like into the frequency part about it, and just people are funny, man. There's just people are odd, you know. It's like, I guess you could do readings on so many different people and get so many different outcomes, and you know the energies that they give off. Like, I'm not an expert, obviously. You guys do this for a living, and I don't know. Like, I would just be funny reading people like that, because I feel like I don't know. Everyone has their prejudice against people, and I mean I'm prejudiced right off the bat. Everybody is, not in a racist way or anything like that, but you have your preconceptions of people off the bat. You know, how does that reflect like your personal reflections on people? Like, if you're doing friends or you're doing a complete stranger, does that have any effect on what the answers may be, because you have a personal connection to somebody?
At the end of the day, you just have to disconnect from everything. Sorry, I saw you were starting a sentence and I was like, no, I just got to jump in. No, at the end of the day, when you're doing this professionally, everybody has to be at the same level, pretty much. You just have to look at everybody as equal, whether you know them or don't know them.
That's a little difficult, I would think, you know?
Yeah.
It is difficult when you know somebody's backstory, yes. And when you have a connection to somebody that may be lasting for years or something along those lines, it does make it more difficult. But I think that you can attest to that, Chas, as well. When you do this for an extended period of time, you can detach that and just be like, okay, this is where you are. This is where the situation is, or what the potential for this is and stuff like that. So after a while, you do get this sense of being able to differentiate and just put everybody on the same level.
And for me, like, as far as for me, it's a toss up. Like, in my experience, like, I've let people touch my cards before, only to make them feel a sense of inclusiveness in the experience. I've noticed with a lot of people who are first timers, I give them the option of cutting the deck. And a lot of, you know, it's different for different readers. Like, in my experience, I know there's some readers that you don't let nobody touch your card. And I know other readers like that too. And then I know other readers that give their deck for them to sometimes either shuffle or cut the deck. So it's really about your own, like he said, his own system, his own ritual and boundary, as far as the readings go. For me, I think it's how I read their energy. Like I said, if I feel like they're nervous or they're scared, I may allow them to cut the deck just to have a sense of power in the experience, you know, to feel like they're not powerless to like whatever's going to come in. I tend to do that, but not often. Most of the time I don't need to, because most of the time they're open to the experience and they don't have that hostility or fear, you know, but I have had that in the past where they are, and I might do that just so that they could feel a little more comfortable and, like I said, in control. But yeah, so, you know, like it varies. Like I said, it's subjective, really. Like, for me, like I know, like, in a lot of times that there's the whole aspect of with the frequencies. Usually for me, like, if someone especially when I'm reading in person, I would just know right from the gate. I would just feel. Even before I pull cards, like if this is someone that has, like I explained earlier, like a some bad juju with them or some bad stuff, or they're on a low vibration, yeah, I won't. And I did that actually recently. I had a client of mine tell me that, you know, somebody's doing something to her, and like she was obsessing about it. She contacted me all hours of the night, and it was just, it got a little creepy. I'm going to be real with you. And I had to, like, you know, set that boundary. Hey, whatever it is you think that you're experiencing right now, that's not really my forte. If you think somebody's doing black magic on you, you may need to see, you know, a voodoo priest or, you know, Santera that could help you with that, because that's not really my bag. You know, like I said, they kind of think we're all in this, you know, plethora, the whole, you know, if we're reading, we're, you know, we do spell work and we do cleanses and things like that. No, I have to explain that, you know, no, I don't really do that. I just read.
Right. This isn't like black magic, right? It's just literally just readings, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you you have to get put into that, though. Like, you get thrown into there. Like, you know, think of
black. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you got, like I said, you guys are witches and warlocks. That's what people say, right? You know?
Yeah. I mean, demons as well, and like,
yeah,
Satan's demons. Children and stuff like that, you know, everything.
Right. Yeah. And you have to have some level of like acknowledgement and respect for it. Like I said, you know, like, I don't do spells. I don't agree with it. I don't believe in imposing on other people's free will. I that's just me. That's my belief. But I've had other readers that do spell work and do those things, and that's, you know, that's their path and that's what they feel comfortable doing. So like I said, I think at the end of the day, it's really about having an open mind and understanding that there's different types of readers, different types of rituals and belief systems attached to what they do. And I, you know, I've had a lot of prejudice with other readers for charging for services. Oh, I read for free. I don't charge people, you know, and some people charge, some people don't. And I don't feel like, you know, I'm providing a service, is only fair that I should be compensated for it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not trying to, like, you know, hustle people out of their dollars or anything like that. I respect my craft and what I do, and I put a lot of energy into it. And that's the thing about it too. They think that it's just, you know, they don't know the energy that this shit takes out of you when you're reading.
I bet. Yeah. But no, your time is valuable. That's what even in my day job, that's what I always tell people. You know, they want me to like fix something for free. And I'm like, no, my time is valuable. I'm not, you know, I'm here for a reason, and it costs money to do stuff. And it's the same thing with you. If you're going to take time, you're doing a 15, half hour, whatever amount of time you guys are doing with people. It's like, that's time out of your day that you're spending to help them out, if they believe it or not. So just because they don't believe it and they just want to test it, it's still your time that you could have been with somebody who does believe and is willing to pay, you know, but
yeah.
Either way, you know, it's kind of here or there with them. You know, anybody who performs any service should get paid for it. So if you guys are doing the service for people, you definitely should get paid. I know the skeptics, it's just a bunch of bullshit, like someone just sitting in their house just pulling cards. But, you know, it's what you guys believe in. And that's the most important part, is that you guys actually believe in what you're doing. You know what I mean? If you go to somebody who doesn't believe in it and it's just like, you know, they're even just beginning or testing it out, maybe, yeah, then it's just like for practice purposes. But you guys are pretty much experts in this field, doing it for this many years, you know, teaching classes and stuff like that, you know, because I didn't know how in depth you guys were. You know what I mean? I think we contacted over Facebook and we were talking about, you know, spirituality, religion and stuff. And I'm like, all right, well, let's see. But after talking to you guys and seeing how, you know, real into this you are, you know, it's intriguing. And it's good to see that it's not just some bullshit fucking thing you guys just want to pull out the air. It's like something you really dedicate part of your lives for doing. I can appreciate that. Now,
I had something to say. I had like a brain fart earlier, but now it came back because, you know, we're talking about the spiritual aspect of this. You know, what this is essentially is divination, right? Tarot is under the umbrella of divination, right? So, I mean, you could read cards, you could do runes, because, you know, there's the witch's runes, which is the stones. And, you know, like it's very Nordic based. You know, you talked about you know, the Nordic gods and things like that. That's another form of divination. Astrology is also predictive and could be divination based. But essentially, for me, what the cards represented was it was kind of a catalyst for my awakening process. And you said, like what you mentioned, Mike, about learning about yourself above all. And for me, that's what the cards did for me. The cards was what helped me to learn about myself and my spiritual intuitive self. It helped me to connect to that aspect. And for everyone else, it's different. You know, like if you're not about the cards, that's fine, you know, but everybody has their specific catalyst. And again, for me, it was the cards. And that just kind of opened me up to a whole new world. And like, again, you mentioned about questioning. That's how it started with me. I was born and raised Catholic. And I, since a kid, was always questioning things like, we talked about this, about the whole concept of original sin. Like if we're made in his image, why are we born in sin? That doesn't make any sense. You see kind of those paradoxical things that would come up. And I would question it and I would get yelled at, like, because that's the way it is. And they'll just put a pretty little bow on it and send you on your merry way. And you're just left like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. That didn't answer anything.
That's always the answer.
You know what I mean? Like, I just want to understand. And like, even the whole process of confession, why am I confessing sins to another sinner? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was always things like that growing up that really kind of set it in motion. That there was paradoxical things. There were things that, to be honest, were somewhat hypocritical that made no sense. And I was kind of connecting those dots as a kid. And it just kind of progressed from there, the constant questioning. And I think everyone, you know, kind of finds their way of awakening to that, you know. And like for us, for, you know, I guess, you know, me and Gogo could agree, like the cards was kind of like a big factor in that. Awaken.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never discredit people. Like, if you want to be a Catholic, if you want to be Jewish, if you want to, whatever you want to believe in, if that is what makes your life better and that's what you want to believe in, 100%. If you want to impose that on other people, that's a different story. You know, if you want to believe in tarot cards and you want to believe in that kind of spirituality, go for it. I 100%. I'm never going to tell somebody they're right or wrong because I don't fucking know. Half the shit I do is fucking wrong. You know, I don't fucking know. I just like to learn about it. Like I said, I'm more of a science-based person. I like facts. I like to know what the answer is and how the answer got there and stuff like that. But like for like what you're doing right now, right? And we're in this conversation, you know, like the connection you have with people when you're doing these things, okay? It's like, do you need that energy right there? Because my biggest question is right now is, would we be able to do a little short presentation through here? Or is this something you have to be in person to person with? Look at that. They were like, oh, this motherfucker.
Do we have the same deck?
Well, you got the writer out right away.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. So they were ready.
Should I grab a different one to give a bit of different energy? Would you like that?
I think this is how I want to end this. I want to do this little presentation real quick. I think that would be great. And 100%, this was not planned. I never even talked about doing an actual reading because I was a little scared at first. And I was like, I don't even know if I want to open myself up to that. But no, I'm ready for it. So whoever wants to go first, I don't know how the process starts or not, but I'm ready to go. Maybe go if you want to start it off.
Yeah. Well, do you have a specific question that you would want to... to answer?
Yes, I do. So in the realm of what we're doing right now, I want to know how far will this show go in a way? And the question that I can ask for it, like, will this be a success in my life, this show? I'm nervous now. They're about to be like, y'all
as our shuffling?
Y'all going out of business after 20 episodes.
After our show, it's just going to be demons and ghosts.
That's right. Oh, they're shuffling right now. This is great. I'm a little nervous, but it's all right. Let's do this. I've never done anything like this before. I've never seen a psychic, a medium, and never done cards, none of that.
Cards are jumping out. Okay.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm already getting stuff I haven't even pulled yet. So.
Oh, shit. Yeah. reverse the universe. I hope I make it out of this right now, guys.
The first thing I got it because something came right away. I haven't even, like, pulled cards yet. Like, Are you working on like the net, like a specific network? Like, are you trying to get like on a network, like, you know, Sirius Radio or something, like a bigger platform?
Yes, I am. I've been trying to work with a few partners that have been very unsuccessful right now, but it's in the works.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what I see in the big picture, that this will be like a syndicated like show, like on a network, like a like Sirius Radio or something like that, like a bigger platform.
Hey, I like this already.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Like that's what was like being shown to me. Like that's the goal, and like, you know, basically where this is leading into. So that's just what I got right off the dome. So let's see what the cards say now. All right, because it'll get specific. Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Basically, yeah. So I do see like a big network, also sponsorship attached to that as well. Okay. So there may be a sponsorship probably happening probably in the next like couple of months. I would say like two to three months, there should be like a sponsorship deal going in for y'all and in the podcast, and working toward that that network, that higher network. So that's what I see here. I see the process of like gaining sponsorship, gaining more clout, basically getting yourselves more out there, like more of a bigger audience, and then just moving up that hierarchy of podcasting into like a major network. So
what you were saying before, right? So that was before you even pulled the cards, you got that feeling. So mm-hmm. like that was just like a more intuition type thing you got out of it before you even pulled the card. So yeah. that's weird. So I mean, listen, I like everything you're saying. Listen, that's great. I'm hoping so. You know, I've only been doing this 2 months now, but I mean, I've been trying to build this to a bigger level. You know, in 2 months, this show is pretty much built up pretty well. But yeah, no, that's great to hear that, you know, because that's one of the biggest things I'm looking to. You said a key word without me even telling you. I've been looking for sponsorship. You know, I want someone to really sponsor the show. And so, like I said, I hope that comes to tuition. That sounds good. So, yeah, let's go to GoGo now.
Monetizing. Yeah, like I said, 2 to 3 months, that will really start taking shape from what I'm seeing.
Shit, I'm good with that. So now, GoGo, you're using a totally different set of cards. Is that right?
I'm using the same deck, but I also went for a different deck for clarification. Okay. So I went for Gods and Titans Oracle as well. So you get a little bit of that masculine divine message.
All right.
So the same thing over here, which I feel like is a good confirmation. I see a lot of money for you in this. So I think that the show is going to be quite a success. I see a lot of opportunities. I feel like you might be in the future as well be doing sort of like traveling shows. So hosting on different radios and stuff like that, going to different places, actually traveling physically because of this and the opportunities that will come through. Now, in regards to what Chaz said with the sponsorships and getting the show big, I would actually advise you to wait a little bit because of the Six of Pentacles that comes through. I feel like there might be certain opportunities that would show up and they might be a bit too good to be true, I'm going to say honestly. So definitely give yourself time whenever opportunities do start coming through. At least get 2 or 3 in and then see what fits you the best. Because I feel like you might be put in a place where you're just signing because you want the show to progress as soon as possible, right? And because it's a great opportunity, why wouldn't you? But then something else comes along and you have more freedom. I feel like you might be put in a place where you have to conform in one way or another, which I feel like you don't really want to do. You have your own thing. You know what you want and you know where you're going with this, or at least figuring it out along the way. And that's really good with Maui coming through, which is that energy of, what would that be? More fiery and water energy, which is that creativity and fire with that spark of just doing whatever you like. And lastly, very interestingly, Lu comes through, which is a Celtic god, and his message is skill. So I think that you'll be probably one of the top people in this game. So you're going to come very far, and I feel like you're going to work with some big names in the industry as well. You're going to have those opportunities. So definitely big things ahead, but do make sure that you're careful when it comes to signing anything, any contracts, any sort of deals that you would be making, at least in the beginning. Yeah, get a couple of opportunities and give yourself a bit of time, because you're not in a rush. You're in a good space and you are going to continue growing naturally. So even without a specific deal right away or in the near future, you're still going to have that success. Be careful with that. Give yourself a bit of time before you go into any signing or documents, anything along those lines.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because that's my biggest thing is sometimes I can easily jump into, like we were talking about Scorpios, I easily can jump into something and not really play my cards right, you know, no pun on word, but not play my cards right with it and just, you know, jump into the first thing that comes that looks gold, you know? And another thing you said was, you know, the creativity part about it. And that's the one thing, you know, my idol in this whole thing is Joe Rogan, okay? Joe Rogan is 100% my idol when it comes to podcasting. And what he did was he signed with Spotify, and it's kind of the same realm as he told them. He's like, listen, I'll sign with you, but I'm not changing my show for you. So like I, in the same realm of that, I will never want to change my show into like, oh, it's got to be PG and you can't curse or you can't say things. But no, that makes sense though. It 100% makes sense to hearing it from a kind of a stranger. I mean, we know each other now, but no, yeah, I definitely will be careful in my endeavors to not just jump into something. But yeah, no, I hope everything you guys said was right, you know. And was that coming from both your deck? You said you just did.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
a collective reading that we do here.
Yeah, we do that oftentimes, and oftentimes you have that thing where one of us pulls a card in and the other person has something similar, so it kind of adds on to one another. The last thing that I wanted to say with this is the scenario that I mentioned before would most probably happen because, well, most probably definitely would happen because people see an opportunity in you. So these firms or sponsors that would be coming through, they see an opportunity in your show to make money. Because one thing that I forgot to mention, and I got that as well as soon as the first card fell out, is you would be creating work for people. So you would have people working for you. I feel like you will go to that point. So that it is a level of responsibility, but at the same time, that's where that aspect comes through. You have to be careful because people don't want to use that.
Yeah, they always got to be careful with these motherfuckers out there trying to make a buck off you. You know, that's why I like dealing with people that I like. You know, like you guys are really cool. I'm happy that we did this, and I definitely would do this again with you guys 100%. But like I work with my crew. You know, the people I grew up with, the people who I trust the most. And you know, there was a bunch of other people who kind of wanted to jump in on this, but you know, I wasn't really about that. But no, I appreciate that. And listen, you guys came out with a pretty much the same outcome, so I'm happy with it, man. I'm ready to fucking make this thing a fucking, you know, a dynasty. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because I noticed you had 10 of Pentacles there.
Yep.
I got King of Pentacles, and those are very good money cards, very good success cards.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So, yeah,
there was a lot of success. Also, the Ace of Wands came through, that jumped out before I could even shuffle completely. So that's really good signs.
Oh, and I didn't even check bottom of the deck. Look, Seven of Swords. So this kind of correlates with what G was saying with be mindful of the scams, the scammers trying to like kind of bank off of your. So that tends to happen too, especially with people just trying to extract money for sponsorship to get, because, you know, they know you're a podcast with buzz. They're trying to get their product out there, so on and so forth. So yeah, especially like I said, I'm getting within 2 to 3 months. So that's kind of a critical time where this may come in. But like I said, just
be careful.
Just really go with your gut if this feels right to you. But like I said, I do see the monetizing happening. But again, like just kind of follow with what kind of works for you and your brand, specific brand. If it's not feeling right to your brand, then, you know, just exit, you know, like, I'm good. Thanks for the offer, but I'm good. No. You know,
because there is going to be endless opportunities with this and different offers that are going to show up over time. So
I love it. Well, on that note, I say, we wrap this up. This went longer than I thought we were going to do it. So this is Big Mike the Don Dada. I'm here with Chas and Gogo. You guys want to put out there your podcast for us real quick?
Yes. We have also started a podcast recently. It's called Taro Rebel Podcast. We're on all outlets, iTunes, Spotify. We're also on YouTube as well. So yeah, if you guys want to tune in, we have new episodes every Friday, and we also have stuff up again on YouTube.
Sounds
That's
good.
Where you'll find us.
Yeah, also good. Social media, Instagram, Facebook.
That's right.
Tarot Rebel Podcast, guys. So.
Yeah, everything Tarot Rebel Podcast.
Tarot Rebel. I thought that was an interesting name, too, when I saw it. Tarot Rebel. I'm like, oh, shit, these are badass motherfuckers.
Hope we didn't disappoint.
No.
If you've gotten the gist by now, we're outside of the box.
We've set the box on fire pretty much at this point.
Well, that's what this show is about. That's what this show is about. It's reversing the universe, man. We trying to change the way people think, not in a tell them what to do. But this show is all about making people think outside the box. And you guys definitely did that today. So I want to finish off like I always do. I hope everybody listening to this podcast has a good day, no matter what day you're listening to this podcast. And always remember, reverse the universe.